Director Michael Mann is famous for sleek, high-tech crime movies like Thief and Manhunter. And, of course, for inventing the sleek, high-tech TV shows Miami Vice and Crime Story. So what's he doing out in the woods, directing an adaptation of James Fenimore Cooper's musty classic, The Last of the Mohegans? Film critic Stephen Schiff explains.
This is a puzzling movie, but as I watched it, I kept feeling there was something terribly familiar about its tone. What else have we all seen that's this somber and fervent without actually making much sense? What else has this same feeling of men living and dying by powerful but not exactly coherent moral codes? What else has this sort of mysterious, impenetrable hero and a romance that's extremely ardent without ever being quite believable? Above all, what else has this kind of intense, perfectly choreographed violence, complete with tricky kicks and flips and lots of blood? That's right, The Last of the Mohicans turns out to be a samurai movie with tomahawks. In other words, like many Americans trying to figure out how to be as sleek and high-tech as possible, Michael Mann has turned to the Japanese for inspiration. And on the whole, the results work. The story is about Hawkeye, played by Daniel Day-Lewis, and more often called Nathaniel in the movie. He's the peerless white woodsman who was raised by the Mohican chief Chingachgook, and now he and his foster brother, the Mohican Uncas, know everything there is to know about hunting and trapping and creeping through the woods without stepping on noisy branches. Okay, meanwhile, back at Fort Edward, beautiful Cora, played by Madeline Stowe, and her sister, played by Jodie May, have to get to Fort Henry, where their father is a crusty British general fighting off the French. On the way, they get ambushed by Huron Indians, who are allies of the French, and just when the situation seems hopeless, along come Hawkeye and Uncas and Chingachgook to rescue the maidens and help them get to Fort Henry. Along the way, Hawkeye and Cora take a moment for one of those taunting cat-and-mouse conversations that always mean love is on the horizon.
Chingachgook, you warned me about people like you.
Oh, he did?
He said, do not try to understand them.
What?
Yes, and do not try to make them understand you. That is because they are a breed apart and make no sense.
Breed apart? We make no sense? You are right, Mr. Poe. We do not understand what is happening here. And it's not as I imagined it would be, thinking of it in Boston and London.
Sorry to disappoint you.
No, on the contrary. It is more deeply stirring to my blood than any imagining could possibly have been.
You can hear how Madeline Stowe sounds like a breathy English beauty losing her accent to the wilderness. And you can hear how Daniel Day-Lewis sounds like John Wayne with marbles in his mouth. They're both very good in this movie, though, and very sexy, but there's never a moment when you feel as if you know either of them. In some ways, this movie plays like a gothic romance. The raven-tressed, headstrong girl gets taken into a world of mystery and peril by a man who's half savage, half noble, and Daniel Day-Lewis has the grace and beauty and burning eyes to make a perfect frontier Heathcliff. The film is wonderful to look at, with action scenes that come thick and fast at the tops of sheer cliffs or by thundering waterfalls. It's safe to say you've never seen anything like it. This movie does sweep you up, but it also evaporates the moment you leave the theater. And the reason is that it has no humor, no looseness, no feeling that there are people alive inside it. Every emotion and every action feel drawn not from life, but from other movies. And those movies are made in Japan.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.